While we're all sitting comfortably, there are, I don't know about you, but during the days, whether I'm in a quiet time or you're in a quiet time or you're in a noisy atmosphere, there's things that come to mind and you think to yourself, or I do anyway, is this the Lord talking to me or is it just my thoughts? Now, I'm a random person anyway. I'll come in church on a Sunday morning, I'll sing a song and it's completely random. And just lately, there's been song after song after song come into my mind. And the one that, the last one was, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning." And I'm telling you, it's like a worm in your head and you just can't get rid of it. And there are circumstances and situations that come about at times and you think they're random and then they're linked together. And I don't know about you, but I know this to be true. When you open your mouth, that's the time you speak. Now, I know that sounds logical, but what I'm saying in this, from a Christian point of view, there are times, circumstances, situations, we'll come across people and other areas in life, and we don't know what to do, we don't know what to say. But as we open our mouths, then so our hearts are opened, and at the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Let me give you an illustration. I won't go into too much detail, but I had a phone call from a friend of mine who used to come to church here, and he rang me, and he asked me this question. He said, "Andrew, how do I know I'm in the will of God?" And I said, "I'll give Mike a ring, he'll tell you." And we got talking, and this man lost his son to suicide some years ago, and since then he just wandered away from God. And because we have a genuine relationship, and that's why it's important to be honest about our feelings, in the sense of when we're in pain, we're in pain. And I have no trouble talking about grief and bereavement. I find it, as we speak, it becomes less painful. And we're talking, and I said to this man, I said, "Don't overcomplicate things." And so often in our lives, we're passionate to do what God wants us to do, yeah? We go, "Am I going the right way? Am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right area? Am I in the right church? What do I need to do to be in the will of God?" And the simple answer at times is just be obedient. Just be the child that God's called you to be. Well, should I be? If you're open and honest with the small things. You know, and I said to this man, I said, "Get a Bible on your phone and listen to it on the way to work. God will talk to you." So often we want a big booming voice to say, "This is the way, walk in it." Well, we know the way to walk if we read God's word. And that's when it comes to how we treat one another, how we are with one another. You know, when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. Why? Because we care. When we feel sad because of a loss, we wonder, you know, "I need to keep it together. Why am I feeling so sad?" Well, that's because you love. Isn't it? If you don't give a monkey's about someone, that's not going to affect you, is it? Sorry to be flippant, but the truth is, when we care, God's given us these emotions. And there's times we just say, "Lord, just turn the tap off, please." But he's given us these emotions, the good, the bad, and the indifferent at times. And I've been singing this song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning." And I have to take my own medicine and not complicate things. When we read scripture, I'm going to read this portion and hopefully we can get through what I'm trying to say today. But are you ready? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Could be a title for today. And there's a parable that Jesus gives that says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And if we're not careful, we can look at this portion here and go, so what does this mean? Who's the bridegroom? What's the oil? What's the lamp? But it's simpler than that, I think, as we look into what Jesus is saying. It says, the foolish ones took their lamps. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them, any extra oil, that is. All they had was what was in the lamp. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all began to be drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps to make them brighter, obviously. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." In verse 10 it says, "But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came along. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So keep watch. Now, Jesus was talking to a culture that understood what this meant. Now, if you get an opportunity to minister, it's no good just taking a portion of scripture and plucking it out. You need to read around it. You need to understand who God's talking to, understand what the meaning is for me and you. The simplicity of this message is simply be ready. That's the simplicity of this message. Be ready. Because in those days, if you remember when you read the account of Joseph and Mary, it said they were betrothed. And then it talks about getting a divorce because she was with child. We think it's just an engagement, but really they were betrothed, they were married, but they hadn't consummated the marriage. There's a process that they go through. And sometimes in this culture, they wouldn't have even met. They would have been betrothed to each other from a young age, and then their parents would have said, "This is the time." What happens is when you're betrothed, the man would go and build accommodation for his wife. Now, there's a novel thought for us men. We would provide for our wives to be, or our wives at the time. And many occasions it would be an extension on the family home. And at that point, when the father inspected and said, "Yes, now ready," he'd say, "Now go and get your bride." So they could be betrothed today, and it could be weeks before the wedding takes place. And what would happen in this culture, there would be 10 maidens, and we're told there are 10 virgins here, and 5 are foolish and 5 are wise, and they would be part of the entourage. And there would be a watchman that would say, "The bridegroom is coming." Now, the bridegroom could come any time, day or night. So in this particular portion of scripture, he was coming at night. And if you look in scripture and you read around John the Baptist, he foretold the coming of Jesus. "I am not the one, but there's one coming. There's only one bride, and there's only one bridegroom." We are the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. We've already been told what's happening. When you look at this portion of scripture, at night in that area, it was illegal to walk the streets without a light. You had to have a lamp. You had to have a light. It was illegal to do so. So you can see what this parable is talking about. They fell asleep because in that culture, it was well known that the bridegroom would try and catch the bridal party out, try and catch them asleep. And what would happen is once they arrived, those that were there went in, the door was shut, no one else was allowed to come. So just take that portion of scripture in its simplicity. Are you ready? Are you ready? And we could say, well, how do we get ready? Well, that's easy. You know, just do what the Lord calls you to do so that we won't be caught unawares. I had a phone call at 6 o'clock the other morning just to notify us of the circumstance with Susan's mum. Now, the phone was in a place that I could hear it, and I'd already made that a priority just in case. I don't want to be caught if the Lord comes tomorrow. I want to know that I'm ready. I want to know that I'm in the will of God. How do we know we're in the will of God? Let's go back to the question that my friend asked me Am I doing what God's called me to do? When we look through parables, you know, sometimes they cross over and they're so similar, but they're different. One portion is saying the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and they're talking about the rapture. And then another one says something very similar, and it's talking about Armageddon. It's talking about the end times when Jesus comes back. This one's talking about being caught up with the Lord. And we complicate it, I think so. The simplicity of Scripture is this: are you ready? And the answer is, if you're ready, is yes, I'm ready. It doesn't mean that our lives are perfect. That's why we have a perfect Savior, isn't it? You know, but there's parables, and I'll get on to some scripture. I haven't got a watch. So if anyone falls asleep, that will remind me. Well, we start at 11 and we finish at 12:30, and that's something that we've done, unless Arthur's been preaching, for the last 18 years, 19 years. But where was I? Sorry? Scripture. Yeah, when we look through Scripture, it shows us what we should be doing to be ready. It doesn't mean that everything will be perfect, but we're ready. You know, if the Bible says, don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, do you meet together? Well, you're hearing me now, so you do. Well, you're in the will of God. The Bible says, at the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you digesting his word? If you are, you're in the will of God. You know, when we start to look at these scriptures, we could be fearful because there's one that says there's two in the field, one's taken, one's left behind. Which one am I going to be, Lord? Well, you should know that if you're Christians, because God doesn't take his salvation away. Now, there are gifts, there are abilities, there are talents, there are rewards, but you will not suffer complete loss. The Bible talks about it. There'll be scorch marks, but you will enter. So we can be ready by being obedient and just doing what God calls us to do. Read his word. Meet together with his people. Keep short accounts with one another, short accounts with God. So let's just go through one or two scriptures just to see if we can tie these up and just make it say something that it actually does say. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Nobody knows the time or the day. If anyone says to you, Jesus Christ is coming back on December the 31st, then you know it to be a lie. Why? Because the Bible already tells you so. So to be in God's will, we should already know that. And then you won't be fearful of when he comes, because whether he comes today or tomorrow or the next day, I'm ready. Why? Because all is well with my soul. I keep short accounts with God, short accounts with you. And if I do wrong and I know it's wrong, I repent and put it right. Now, there's times that we do wrong and we don't know we're doing wrong. Let me give you an example. This really pricked my conscience the other day. I was in that spiritual place, Sainsbury's, and I was buying a birthday card for my wife. And there's two cards I bought. One said, there's a perfect person in this marriage, and then there's me. And that was one, and there was another one. And I checked it, put it on the scales, checked the second one, put it on the scales, and it only registered one. So instead of paying for two cards, it said I only had to pay for one card. Now, my first thought was, well, that's not my problem. So I paid my money and off I went. And I'm walking to the door and I just couldn't walk out the door. So I turned around, I went back. I said, excuse me. I said, this charged me for this and this. She said, so what are you saying? I said, I'm saying I owe you some money. Oh, really? Yeah. I need to scan this second card. Because I knew, as I was walking out, I knew I hadn't paid for it. Now, there's times that these things happen in our day-to-day lives, and we don't know, we're oblivious to it. But once we know, once God has shown us something, once he's shown us that we should love, then we need to love. Once he's shown us that we should forgive, we need to forgive. Once he's shown us that we're in his will because he loves us and he's forgiven us, we should accept it. We should accept it and not always be fighting, saying, am I doing the right thing? Well, if you're reading his word, he'll speak to you. As you listen to worship, that song that comes into your mind will speak to you. God gives his rhema words, yes. I stand here before you today because the Lord spoke to me directly. But that's not always the case. Most of the time, it's through his word. It's through something that we read, something that we hear, and God just prompts us. And when we look through his parables, we can see that he's telling us he's coming back, but he doesn't tell us when, so we don't need to be fearful, but we do need to be ready. In 1 Thessalonians 5:4, it says, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should take you by surprise." The foolish virgins were in the dark because their lamps had gone out. What this portion of scripture is saying, we are not in the dark because we've been given the light. Because if the light of the love of the Lord is in us, then there can be no darkness. The Bible says that, doesn't it? If there's light in you, there can be no darkness. Yes, but there's just a small bit of light. Well, that means there's not full darkness. The light of the love of the Lord. So when we make that commitment, when we say, "Lord, forgive us," he comes and enters our hearts, doesn't he? That's the light of God in us. So we're not in darkness. So I would encourage you that part of being ready is recognizing that we are his. And therefore, if there's light of God's love in us, there can be no full darkness. Doesn't mean we don't get things wrong. Of course it doesn't. But it means that we know where we're going when that trumpet blows. You are all children of the light, children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. This links to that parable that I was talking about. They were asleep, and then suddenly, five were foolish, five were wise, it says. Five were ready and five weren't. But my question is, are you ready? And if you're a Christian, the answer is yes. So then, let us not be like the others. Verse 7, "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith." So when it talks about being clothed in the right clothes, we put on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, alive or dead, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So when we draw alongside each other through the good times and through the bad times, we're encouraging people. You can do this. Do you know what? There are many Christians, and me included, that have gone, "Lord, I want to get off this merry-go-round. Here I am, send someone else." There are times that something will come. It may be something small, something big. It may be a situation to do with your finances. You may lose a loved one suddenly. It may be just someone says something. And all of a sudden you think, what's the point? That's why we encourage one another. You can do this. You can do this. You can do all things, but Christ has to strengthen you. So what do you need to do? Lord, strengthen me. I'm ready. If you come tomorrow, Lord, I'm ready. Strengthen me. So I want to encourage us as we challenge one another as well, because I look through scripture, and when it talks about being ready, it talks about the shepherds, the way the shepherds treat their sheep, the way leaders and those in authority treat others. Jesus is very stern on that. "You don't know the hour that I'm coming back, so make sure you treat people well." So whether you're that side or you're this side, God encourages us through his words. Be dressed, it says in Luke 12. Be dressed, ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. That's what I just read about putting on faith and righteousness, his righteousness. We're dressed with the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel, the breastplate, the sword of the Spirit. We're dressed. So be encouraged when we read these portions of scripture. They're very simple if we allow it to come in. It says, keep your lamps burning. Now, many people have, and I'm not saying this is wrong, I'm just saying this is how I read it when I look through scripture. Many people focus on oil and go, the oil is the Holy Spirit and the lamp is our body. Well, you know, you can use that, but that's not what the parable is talking about. It's just talking about being ready. It's giving you an illustration. Jesus says, like a farmer sowed seed. Some seed fell on rocky places, some on good soil. Well, what's the seed? The seed is the word of God. So we understand the parable. It's not about the seed. The seed is the word of God. The word doesn't change. It's about the soil. It's about the heart of the person. So let's not complicate it when Bible talks to us, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. So are you ready? It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself and serve. Will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. And you think to yourself, how would God do that? Well, have you not read the account of washing the disciples' feet? What did God manifest in flesh do? He got down on the floor and he did the work of the lowest of the low, wiping off the grime, the filth, the dirt, the dung from the feet of his disciples. So God says that, be ready, because when I come back, I come to serve. I come to serve afresh. So we are to serve one another as we wait for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night. And it goes on to the lamps being burning. Keep your light, and the light of God lives in us. It will be good for us. If he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So as Christians, there will be times where we know we're doing the wrong thing. We know we're doing the wrong thing. And God says, get right with me. Let your light shine. There's times where we think to ourselves, and I've seen it sadly in churches, it's a sad reflection that there are influential leaders that lead their people astray. And they might think they've got years before they have to keep their count. There are people who say, well, I think there is a God, but I don't need to do anything now because I want to enjoy my life before I become a Christian. Hey, this is a good life. It's a good life. I haven't missed out on anything by serving God. In fact, I've been given more. Why? Because he's changed my heart. He's took it from a heart of stone and made it a heart of flesh. It means we can weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. It means we can see who we are, that we know we're dressed in his righteousness, that the light of the love of the Lord lives in us. And if there is light, there can be no darkness. So I know where I'm going. And so do you, if you belong to Jesus Christ. So as we look through Scripture, it encourages us, it challenges us to be ready. In Romans 4, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. I have a few years to go. There's hope for us all. And Sarah's womb was almost dead. Now, you'll understand why I put this in a moment. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, or the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Are you fully persuaded? You see, there was times in his life where he could have looked at his circumstance. He could have looked at his body and went, this will never happen. You know, this is something that, and only you know, that God has said to you. And to start with, you're going, yes, I'll have that, I'll claim that. And then over time, you start to think, maybe I didn't hear God. It's never going to happen. Do you know what that is? That's doubt. Now, I'm not saying that we should walk around with coat hangers in our mouths going, God's going to do this, God's going to do that. But the thing is this is the key. Did God say? And if he did, then he'll bring through the promise. It might be years down the road. Elijah and Elisha, 15 years of carrying his bags, and then suddenly God gives him a mantle and suddenly his life changes. And so for me and you, it may be that God has said something to us and it hasn't come back yet. But be of good cheer. Do not waver through unbelief. But be strengthened in faith and give glory to God. So the question is asked, how do we strengthen ourselves? And the answer is given by giving glory to God. Lord, I thank you that your word does not come back void. Whatever it is. Lord, I thank you that your word is true. Giving glory to God will strengthen us. And then through that strength and that light that's in us, as we keep that oil burning, if you like, we are fully persuaded that God has power. That God has power to do what he said he was going to do. But are you ready? Are you ready to receive his goodness? Are you ready if he comes back today? Matthew 1, 21, that says, she will give birth to a son. This is Mary. And you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The simplicity of this portion of scripture is God is with us. You're not on your own. I tell this story, a true story, and at this point, God wasn't with me. I used to be afraid of the dark, and as a teenager, I used to want to go to the discos. Yeah, I'm that old. And you had to walk through the cemetery to get the shortcut. So what I would do is, I was so afraid of the dark and someone would jump out and attack me, that I would speak to myself as if there was two of us. So no one would attack me because there's too many. Now, I don't need to be afraid because there is two of us. There's Christ in me, the hope of glory. You see, if the light of the Lord is in me, then I don't need to be afraid of the dark. So when we look at this portion of scripture here, we can be encouraged that God is with us. And yet when you look at this portion of scripture and you take it along with the parable of the virgins and you talk about the oil and you talk about the banquet, you talk about the wedding, it all comes together. This is the same thing, that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And yet she was with child and he was going to divorce her, which shows you that they were already married, but it wasn't consummated. And it shows you about the way in which they produced their wedding service. There was a banquet. There were 7 days of being lavished upon. There was a home being prepared for you and I. There's a home prepared for us. You see, when you look at the bride and you look at the groom and you look at what's happening, the Bible says that there are many rooms God goes to prepare. So the bridegroom has gone to prepare a place for me and you, the bride. So when you look at scripture, it's quite exciting because it all ties in together if you put it into context. We are the bride of Christ. We need to make ourselves ready because we don't know when he'll come. So my question is, are you ready? Matthew 3:1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. I put this portion of scripture in just to show us that when the parable of the virgins, and you look at the whole picture of a wedding, and there would be a groom, we would say, would go out before to say, the bridegroom is coming. Prepare yourself. Get ready. That this shows us that in those days, John the Baptist went out preparing the way for the Lord. Now, you and I have a responsibility, just as John did, to go out and tell people that the bridegroom is coming. Repent. Same message. Repent, which means turn, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near because Christ is in us. So we have a responsibility to tell others to get ready or to ask the question, are you ready? If I think someone said to my wife many years ago when we were searching, if you was to die today, do you know where you're going? well, I can answer that now, but I couldn't answer it then, nor could Susan. So we have an opportunity to allow people to put oil in their lamp, faith in their hearts. In Matthew 25:14, again, we're talking about kingdom. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Entrusted his wealth to them. Just imagine, whatever you have that's precious to you, you're entrusting it to other people. To one he gave, this is talking about finances, one bag of gold or several denarius. To another, two bags. To another, one bag, each according to their ability. Now, we could preach on this portion of scripture on its own, but we won't. It says here, according to their ability. Now, God gives gifts. Now, for me, I can't complain if I'm just a two-talent person or a one-talent person. I can't complain about the five-talent people. If only I had their faith, if only I had their opportunities, I could do more for God. Well, the simplicity of this portion of scripture is this. The reward is good and faithful servant. That means whatever God's given us to do, we're faithful with it. Yeah, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, Andrew. What, Pastor, what is my ability? You want to be in the will of God? I do. Love him. Accept you've been forgiven. Walk in humility. Don't stop meeting together. Praise his name in all circumstances. Pray when you don't feel like it. Speak to him and allow him to speak to you. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what God will say, whether you're a one talent or a five talent. It's only when you take what God has given you and you trample on it, you bury it. See, for Christians, this is still a good news story, and I'll tell you why. It's because the Bible says that when you've accepted that gift from God, you can't lose it. So you'll still get the enter in, but you won't get the well done. The Bible says that our works will be revealed. The gold, the silver, the precious stones will remain, but the straw, the stubble, and the hay will be consumed, but you yourself will enter, but only just. So we know there's rewards. And all God wants us to do, I believe, as I read scriptures, just to be obedient, just to do what he's called us to do when he's called us to do it. And you are not me, and I am not you. I don't have your talent, you don't have my talent. I don't have your abilities, you don't have my abilities. So I can't do what you can do, but you can. Well done, good and faithful servant. Are you ready? Is my question. In Colossians 4:5, be wise in the way you act towards others or outsiders. So part of the will of God is to be wise in the way we act towards other people and make the most of every opportunity. Simplicity of the gospel, isn't it? Repent, believe, make the most of every opportunity. Repent, believe, work in his vineyard. Whether you're the first hour or the 11th hour, the will of God is to love him, to keep short accounts with him, to keep short accounts with one another. That's how we make ourselves ready. That's part and parcel of it. So if you're a Christian today, then the light of God is in you. The love of God is in you. The forgiveness of God is in you. You are capable of forgiving others. You are capable of walking in light. You are capable of, whether you're asleep or you're awake in the natural, you're already dressed. You're already dressed. So if God comes tonight, then you're dressed. You're ready. If he comes tomorrow, you're dressed. You're ready. Why? You're dressed in faith. You're dressed in humility. You're dressed in faithfulness. You're dressed in righteousness, his righteousness. So I encourage us by telling you all the good things, and I challenge us by saying, are we ready? Are we ready if he comes back? If we need to have an account that's short, then let's keep it. If we need to be those that ask God to forgive us, ask him. If we need to give, let's give. If we need to receive, let's receive. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank you that you've prepared a place for us. That, Lord, we are your bride. and you are the bridegroom. You've gone to prepare a place for me. Lord, I am ready if you come back for me today. Lord, I am ready. Lord, if there's anything in me that I can do to serve your plan and purpose, speak to me afresh through your word, through a hymn, through revelation. Father, if there's anything in me that is not what you want to be, forgive me, cleanse me, clothe me afresh. Today is the day of salvation. I ask your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. Now I walk in the joy of you, Lord. Father God, thank you that you placed me in a family. Father, thank you that you encourage me to go out and prepare the way for others to find you. That you give me opportunities to speak of your goodness and your love. That, Father God, that the way is you. The life is you. Hope is in you. So, Father God, today I thank you that I belong to you. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me a talent and you've given me an ability. Help me to use it. I ask this in your name, Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. We come back and we just finish in worship and then have some time of fellowship together. Put into practice some of the things that God calls us to do.